Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
For decades, I've introduced my first segment of the show with this. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
So where did this brain massage thing come from? I'd like to visit with you a little while today. I want to get into Trump's Thursday speech. It was incredible. And praise God that he's stepped forward now and he's exposing all of this stuff. I'm working through the files he's posted on the website at whitehouse.gov. And this is a very exciting thing for me to see. And I want to get into it. I mean, it is amazing, you know, when even CNN hosts are admitting the material the White House has released on the stealing of the 2020 election is authentic documentation that compels, well, she didn't go this far, but admitted that it's authentic documentation. And I believe it compels even the most diehard election theft deniers to admit that not only was 2020 not the safest, most secure election in our history, but the evidence shows it was stolen. And even more concerning, something we've known all along, but now it's getting out there and the documentation to support it is coming forward. China had its hand in this dirty business. Election integrity is everything. And I intend to speak to that. But it's that time of the year when we pause to reflect on the early days of the brain massage show. So how did this brain massage thing get started? Well, back in the 70s, I was teaching at the Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College, my alma mater. And I was teaching various courses on theology and some Bible classes as well, poetic books and so on. But anyway, I was walking up to my class, a contemporary theology class, and as I approached the door, a couple of students were talking. I overheard one of them say, it's Mr. Scheidbach, it's time for our brain massage. So that intrigued me. We got into the room, everybody settled down. I said, okay. It was all a bunch of preacher boys. And so I said, okay, boys, what's with this brain massage stuff? Well, it was tongue-in-cheek and it was jocular, but they feigned, oh no, we're in trouble now. This kind of thing was going on. We're having fun. They had a real good relationship with my students. But anyway, they told me that, we kind of talk about your classes and it's like getting a brain massage. And then one of the kids in the back raised his hand and said, well, it's more like a brain bludgeoning for me. And anyway, yeah, I had something of a reputation for taking them deep, but keeping them alive in the process and bringing them up with something worth going deep for. But anyway, so we bantered that about a bit. I liked it. And from there forward, I would often, almost every session, begin by saying, okay, boys, it's time for your brain massage. Well, when I got on the radio and I started doing this thing, you know, just threw that out there once or twice. It was responded to favorably. I decided to just pick it up. And it actually, over time, became the name of the show, the Brain Massage Show. Years ago, a couple of dear ladies who at that time lived in Lompoc heard me on the radio. Now, folks, this is back in the day when you didn't hear preachers on what they used to call secular radio. I mean, not guys like me. You might hear from time to time Jesse High Jackson, as Savage used to call him, or some of these other guys. But you didn't hear a conservative, Bible-believing, God and country, God-fearing preacher who's a Bible believer, Bible thumper type, whatever, on public radio. It just wasn't done. I mean, it was unheard of, friend. I used to get calls threatening my life, believe it. It's just crazy. I mean, to burn my house down, stuff like that. Often someone would call snarling threats that they were going to report me to the FCC, and I was supposed to get real shaken by that. I laughed. One guy called me, and I just happened to answer that particular call. And when I did, he let me know that he was going to take away my license. I said, what license? I asked him, have you ever heard of the Constitution? This joker said the Constitution forbids people like me from talking about God on public radio. That's what he said. Can you believe that? Now, I can tell you right now that many Christians agreed with him then. In terms of opposition, I got more opposition from people who called themselves Christians than I did from lost people. It didn't usually get that vicious, like this guy. He's totally full-blown Antichrist. But anyway, I can tell you right now, a whole lot of Christians agree with him, and I told him so. Many agree even today. That for a genuine, authentic Christian to speak what the Bible actually says about hot topics in the current culture war, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, Christians never heard anyone on public radio talk about God and the Bible the way I did. It was strange for their ears. Well, now it's not so uncommon, but then it was absolutely unheard of. Anyway, these ladies were driving about doing some shopping over in one of the stores there in Lompoc. They told me about this when they came and visited our church, and they heard me on the radio, and they were mesmerized. They were fascinated. They couldn't believe their ears, and they just went in. The one lady said, we were in a trance or something. It's like, did we die and go to heaven or whatever? I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. And then went on and on in that vein, you know. So, but I'll never forget when one of them looked at the other and said, "Do you remember we sat there in the car? We didn't want to get out of the car and go on into our shopping. We wanted to finish listening to this. And as we were listening, I noticed that you were glowing." And then she said to the one who just said that, "Yeah, you were glowing." And so anyway, that's what gave birth to this science of the brain massage.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
And then after a little while, I began to open my second segment with this little bit about Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Then I've continued doing that for many, many, many years. You know, we have a very old tradition in the, let's call it the brain massage radio family, shall we? I refer to myself as the Paul Revere's lantern lighter, and saying lights on. And I'm known for ending my segments, the show usually, by saying lights on or lights off. You call in and let me know what you think about the show today, that kind of thing, whatever. But this lights on thing. So where does that come from? Well, you know, when I deliver a blow to the jaw of liberty's enemies, or when I bring out a point that illuminates the mind with powerful insight that scatters the darkness and confusion, clarifies the confusion and makes everything clear as can be, well, then many in my audience will say, lights on. Now, here's how that got started. In the early years on radio, I did a thing called Light on Education, Turning the Lights on Education, where I shed the light on what was going on in our public schools, exposing the teachers working as undercover change agents intentionally subverting the minds and hearts of our children, undermining parental authority, undermining God and country patriotism. Oh, yeah. I've been at this a very long time. This goes way back, actually, into the 70s. I was principal of Baptist Christian schools in Newark, California for a while, back in the early 80s. And the pastor would occasionally ask me to speak on the church radio program about education. And I was talking about the danger of turning the minds and hearts of our children over to communist propaganda way back then. Well, when we started our own radio ministry here, we decided to go on our local public radio station. For many years, I was the opening act for Laura Schlesinger. Some of you might remember her. I did the show live then, you know, go down to the studio, into the room there, you know, with the red, big red light ready to come on when it's time, when the mics would go hot, that kind of thing, and I was supposed to start. And I enjoyed that. I actually enjoy doing live things better than pre-recording. But my traveling schedule and my ministry is so active and so on, I can't do it anymore. But I got on a roll on a certain point back then, and was fervently declaring God's mind on the evils of our day and the great danger this brought to our children. And I said, that should get the lights on out there. Well, back then, folks would call the station, often while I was speaking, and the phones lit up, and people were calling in saying, tell the pastor my lights are on. One guy called and wanted them to tell me that he was so excited about what I was saying, he was turning his headlights on and off while he was driving. And many other calls along those lines. So this lights on thing kind of caught on. And I started using it in every show. Lights on or lights off. Call 805-314-2114 and let me know what you think about the show today or something like that. Well, we had lots of fun with all of that stuff, and we still do. Some of you have been listening to the Brain Masseur for decades, and I'm glad you're there. And maybe you have not called in for a while. I know it's not very satisfying to call and just leave a message. I get it. That's how we have to do it now. But you can always come on by church on any Sunday morning or evening that I'm in town, and I'm in town more often than I'm not. I do some traveling and so on, but come on by. The chances are like 90 to 95% that I'll be in my pulpit, especially right now during the summer. So you can come on by the church anytime and meet with me or call that number. Say you want to meet with me. We'll get that arranged too. You can meet me on Sunday morning at the church or Sunday evening, 5 o'clock on Sunday evening, by the way, or Wednesday night at 7. There are lots of ways to engage with our ministry here. I publish a devotional almost every day of the week. You can go to baptistlighthouse.org, or if you have difficulty spelling Baptist, and by the way, many do. I couldn't when I first became a Christian in a Baptist church. I misspelled it often. But anyway, use santamarialighthouse.org. On that webpage, find Outreach in the menu bar across the top. Click, scroll down to Shepherd's Pasture. You can pick the devotion that interests you. Open the page, and you'll see my published devotion notes with a player at the bottom where you can actually watch the live stream where I taught the devotional. I also offer a Brain Massage Live podcast. It's a spinoff, this show, The Brain Massage. But in that one, it's a live stream thing, and we are working on getting that up, like our Shepherd's Pasture devotions, where you can go to our page and on our website and watch the episode of Brain Massage Live right there. You can also go to brainmassage.net and access a trove of Brain Massage radio podcast episodes that go back years and years and years, and access my show notes, which, by the way, are packed with a huge amount of documentation supporting any assertion of fact and elaborating on certain things I don't have time to elaborate on during the radio show. So we document my research, and it's available to you in those notes. And many of you have talked about visiting me at the Lighthouse for years. Don't you think it's time you did? Come on by. If you like guitar and singing psalms, well, I've written melodies to something like 50 or more of the psalms, and we have some favorites. And when Lou Silva, owner of Have It Wired, is in town, he joins me at that time playing bass guitar and singing with me. It's really precious. It's beautiful. You get to learn some interesting new melodies to various psalms. The Bible says if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you need to speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's a great way to do it. Sing the Bible. Right now, I'm teaching my class the glossary of gospel terms. And we're going through all the terms that are used in the Bible that are relevant to or that speak of the doctrine of salvation. Okay, I probably need to begin wrapping up this first segment. From now through the end of the year, I'm going to be presenting messages showing the relationship between God and America. The first series will be called The Bible and Our Beginning. That'll be followed by The Bible and the Declaration. And then The Bible and the U.S. Constitution. You're going to be shocked when you find out that the Bible really is the bedrock of this country. And then, a great series, I preached it before, it's The Bible and the Bill of Rights. Throughout the rest of this year, all visitors will receive a gift copy of my booklet, God's War, a Summary. And during each of the series that I'll be presenting, we'll be giving away various gifts and so on. One of them is Washington's Farewell. That's an awesome little booklet that takes the reader through Washington's farewell address to the nation and shows the profound wisdom that's there for us today. The Bible and the Bill of Rights. I preached that some years ago. It's an amazing series. Of course, we'll add to it, develop it. It'll be fresh when you hear it this time, if you have heard it before. And those who attend that series will receive a free copy of the little booklet that's made from those sermons. The Divine Right of Consent will be given also to each visitor or visiting family, one per family. And we'll begin distributing that just as soon as it's published. All of this is being done this year in celebration of our 250 years of independence. And it represents something of our contribution to the continuation of our liberties under God. All right, my dear friends, hold on to the break. I'll be right back. I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. One of the challenges I have with dedicating the time and attention I would like to give to the president's speech is that my audience actually already knows all of this. But it is cool, isn't it, that he's revealing the documentation that was hidden within the Obama and Biden administrations from the American people. And that's what's new about this. Proof from documentation that was classified to be kept out of public view that shows the Obama and Biden administrations, they knew what was going on with the elections, and they hid it. They even hid it from President Trump during his first term. And by doing so, they were refusing to submit to the will of the people, just like they're doing right now. Do you remember when Biden slipped and said that whoever he was talking about, when he stammered about you guys, you know, referring to those who had, according to him, put together for the Obama administration, the greatest election fraud organization in the history of American politics?
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
People have their theories about this. Well, here's my theory. He was trying to say something good. But he got all bungled up because, you know, snakes have a problem with... Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Matthew 12:34. I think God just squeezed that fellow's heart and out it popped. Listen to this expose on the infamous election thievery that went on in Fulton County, Georgia. We've all heard it before, but I've got a link here. You got to listen to this. Here's the documentation revealing that the Obama and Biden administrations knew about the vulnerabilities in electronic voting and ballot counting systems. And by the way, this is right from the White House website covering this. Go to whitehouse.gov and you'll be confronted with the opportunity to look into this immediately. They've got a very elegant system. They're very easy to navigate. But just in case, I have the links right here in my notes. And you can just click right from my notes and go straight to the place where you'll find the source for all this information. And I'll be digging through it, reading all the documentation. I haven't had time yet, of course. But Obama and Biden administration knew about China's acquisition and exploitation of American voter data. 220 million American voter records were bought or stolen by the Chinese government. Here's a summary of what these files reveal. Quote, "Members of the deep state and our intelligence agencies worked to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people. U.S. spy agencies began learning about the compromise of voter registration files in 2020 when they discovered that tens of millions of voter data in 18 states had been bought, stolen, or hacked by China. Yet those responsible for sounding the alarm instead kept the information hidden." End quote. They knew which side China was on with regard to American elections. You know what I mean? Michigan voter registration investigation quashed by the Biden Department of Justice. Quote, "The documents state that some canvassers admitted to FBI agents that they signed voter registration forms in other people's names, submitted fraudulent registrations for people who did not exist, and received gift cards tied to the number of applications they produced." Anybody got a sense that George Soros' money might have kind of moved this way? Perhaps some of Zuckerberg's and Gates' money too. Let's look into this. Just saying. The FBI agents working on the case believed that crimes were committed, yet the Biden Department of Justice slow-walked the investigation for years. Director Patel is being directed to ensure that the matter is fully investigated and to work with the Department of Justice to prosecute those responsible for any crimes. And massive numbers of non-citizens on state voter rolls. Quote, "According to a DHS review of state voter rolls and public records, they identified approximately 278,000 non-citizens who are registered to vote in federal elections. Since Democrat states refused to share their voter files, the real number is actually much higher. Yet even this limited analysis found more than 250,000 foreigners illegally registered to vote," end quote. Now, folks, you don't register to vote unless you have some intention of doing so. We understand the need to show ID when traveling. I don't mind showing my ID to fly. The reason I refuse to fly out of San Luis Obispo Airport isn't that they want me to show ID to get to my gate. Yeah. Well, that's a story for another time. Also, I've found that most government buildings I go into, I have to show ID to enter. I get all offended. How dare you interfere with my rights to come? What's a bunch of nonsense? There is zero reason for Thug Thune and the rest of the macaroons that sing his tune in the Senate today, who delay and crawfish and dodge and dilly-dally and make excuses for failing to get the SAVE Act passed to the president's desk. There's no reason at all but one that makes any sense, and that is this. They want the political establishment class to control who gets to be in the club. Trump busted down their doors, and they are panicked that he's going to do just exactly what he promised us that he would do, and that is give the power back to the American people where it belongs. The truth is, God has divinely ordained the biblical principle of consent. It's choose ye this day whom you will serve. You know, when God took the kingdom from Judah and gave it to the Gentiles, it's because that's what they chose. God complained against Israel because they set up kings, but not by me, Hosea 8, verse 4. It's all over the Bible, folks. The people of Israel willingly consented to be a nation under God. They made vows and covenants with God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at David's example, and really, every legitimate king of Israel was made king by the people. God talked about Israel setting up over themselves a king in Deuteronomy 17, and he made it clear this was not according to his will, but he did not interfere with their choice, even though he disapproved. David was told by God that he would be king after Saul, and when Saul died, David did not do as the heathen kings would and take his army and go take the throne that God said was his. He asked God, "Shall I go up?" God said, "Go." He asked God, "Where shall I go?" God said, "Hebron." He went to Hebron, and his brethren of the tribe of Judah, his tribe, made him king, the Bible says. And the rest of Israel refused. David did not gather his army and force himself on the people of Israel because he had some kind of divine right to the throne. He reigned for 6 or 7 years in Hebron and did not become king of all Israel until the people of the tribes of Israel willingly made him their king. God's ruler receives their authority to reign under God by the consent of the governed. It is the wicked who take the kingdom by force and with violence. It is the wicked who take from the people their right of consent. They are thieves and robbers, just like their father, the devil. And these people who refuse to yield to the will of the American people, what is it, 82-87% of all voters want proof of citizenship to register to vote. They want the voter rolls cleared of all these non-citizens. They want voters to present photo ID when they come to vote. That's what the people want. These who are rejecting that show that they are of their father, the devil. Now, okay, I lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on, or lights off. You can email me, go to our website, brainmassage.net, or the church site, baptistlighthouse.org. Find the Contact Us button, fill in the form there, and send me your message. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. That's 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.